It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here live in person in the thankfully air-conditioned office that, if anything, is even a little too cool. But on a day like this, you won't hear many complaints about that. We were walking in the front door a few minutes ago, and the windows on the front are just sheeting with the drops of rain. There's so much condensation on them, they can hardly hold it. That's the first time this year I've seen that, and I'm not very happy about it. But if not for those days, everybody would live here. And there's enough of them moving here already that we got to put up with something, I guess. Anyway, all the regulars, welcome back. We're so happy you're always there. That's why we get up and do this and have for the last 8.5 years. And we'll continue to do so for as long as we're capable and you're listening. It's got to be both of those. So if you're new here and you've found out about us or just left the radio on or whatever happened, try to stick around for the hour. We always promise that you'll learn something, and I don't think we've ever let you down, as long as it doesn't mean that you're going to learn something that's going to make you an overnight millionaire, because that's just not how we work. So if we did, we wouldn't be here. We'd be overnight millionaires and gone. See, it all works. What's good for you is good for us, and vice versa. Lots going on. If you're holding over from Angela and Howard and Susan, you know that it was an up week, and it was kind of funny because the first thing in my stack of goodies today is a headline that I printed out Tuesday morning. Remember, Monday was a holiday, so this was maybe an hour and a half after the market opened, and we had had a good day on Friday, but we just had the worst 6 months in history. So everybody was kind of on edge. Well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And here's the headline from the Market Watch at the time. Dow drops nearly 700 points after long weekend as dollar rallies to 19-year high. And then some other stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is getting creased and thrown into the wastebasket.
It was an ugly open.
It was indeed.
Which turned into a decent week.
Yep.
Especially on the NASDAQ. The beginning of the third quarter has started, and it has a lot better feel to it than the first 6 months of the year so far. Through five trading days, the Dow is up 1.8%, the S&P is up 3%, and the NASDAQ is up 5.5%. Neither of us is anywhere near ready to say this bout of volatility is over, but it's nice to see some green on the screen for the first time in a long time.
Well, volatility, by definition, is supposed to mean up and down, isn't it?
And we've seen that.
We have
a trivia question we'll address in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a good one.
So far in this quarter, the things that have bounced the most were the things that got beat up the worst in the first half. The sectors that have posted the strongest gains in July are consumer discretionary, up 6%, communication services, up 4.2%, and technology, up 3.8%. These three were down, or are down, on the year 28.4%, 26.9%, and 23.8%. So pretty bad, got beat up pretty bad in the first half, but a nice little bounce to start the second half. Conversely, the two best performing sectors year to date, energy, which is up 29.9%, and utilities down 1.15%, were both down this week, with energy falling 1.1% and utilities down 0.6%. So not big falls, but both they were the two worst performing sectors on an up week. This week saw growth up 4.5% outperform value, which was only up 1%. That's a trend we haven't seen much of this year either.
That's the truth.
After a very tumultuous start to the year, crypto is having a nice July as well. Year to date, Bitcoin is down almost 60%, 6-0, and Ethereum is down almost 74%. But in July, they're up 14% and 21% respectively. So nice little bounce there. Not a buyer, but still not too bad. International stocks have been not been faring as well in July, outside of a few outliers. India and Israel are both up over 2%. Japan's up about 1.4%. But Europe is not faring so well, with the major markets down there between 1.8% and 3.6% so far in July. Commodities have taken a break from their 2022 rally to post losses in July, with the exception of natural gas, which is actually up 9% this month. Gold and silver are both down about 4% in July. Fixed income continuing to struggle. TIPS posted a small gain in July, but the ETF AGG, which is the aggregate bond market, is down 0.3% during the month as interest rates continue to They bounced around a bit, but they basically continued to climb outside of mortgage rates, which plummeted over the week, and that was on recession fears. So it's kind of one of those double-edged swords where, yes, you can get a cheaper mortgage, but it's because people are worried that we're running into a recession. So which would you rather have, a cheap house in a recession or a more expensive house in non-recessionary conditions?
That's a fine question.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me when the recession will arrive, or if it's when it'll go away, if it's here. And we lean to the side. Howard was talking about this too. We lean to the side of we're already in it, and by the time you figure it out, it's going to be gone.
And they were talking about that in the last show, the real estate show, and they said that you don't know until it's over. Not necessarily when it's over, but you don't know until you're well into it, because right. You can't even have the data until after it's been 6 months.
Yeah, it's backward-looking data production.
Right. So it is generally towards the end. So that was correct, what they were saying, which is it does make it pretty tough to predict when you're in one and also when you'll get out of one.
Yeah, the Fed's tracking index is still showing -1, and part of that is the optimism of the stock market, which basically isn't there, although it went up.
Yeah.
But they're still showing a -1, and coupled with the last quarter, it would be a technical recession. But the big thing that very few people are factoring in is that so much economic data now is so skewed by the inflation rate that you can sell a lot less things and still have higher sales these days.
True. One thing that hasn't been pointing to recession is the jobs numbers, and that report came out on Friday. The headline number beat expectations. It showed that 372,000 jobs were created last month versus an estimate of 265,000, so that's a pretty strong number. Previous months were revised down by 74,000, kind of negated some of that, but not all of it. It would still be a beat if you took out the 74,000, right around 300,000 versus 265,000, so not bad. The unemployment rate remained at 3.6%. One area of weakness was the household survey, which has dropped pretty dramatically over the last 2 months. Despite that drop, it's still kind of in line with historically normal levels. Hasn't posted enough of a drop yet to be super concerning, but it is something we're keeping an eye on. Another bit of good news, incomes rose at an 8% annualized rate in June, which is just about enough to keep up with inflation. So that
reported inflation.
Reported, whatever you want to call it. But we haven't seen that for a couple months. Last month, it was annualized about 6%. So this was a tick up from that. Now, it wasn't all good news, and I know you want to talk about that.
Of course. You know me, the harbinger of all things evil when it comes to government. Household survey. Well, let's go back to Wednesday. ADP, the private employer company, made their report. It was, I guess I'd call it sort of lukewarm, 128,000.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, okay. So then on Friday, that was on Thursday because of the holiday, on Friday the government issues its two reports, and the headliner is the one that for employers. But the household survey showed a 315,000 decrease, and it shows across the last 2 months that we have gained no net new jobs at the household level. Now, that means a week ago, we were still 800,000 short of achieving our February 2020 number. We still are,
almost 100% in blue states, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. This administration has yet to achieve one net new job. And they go up there and they rattle on and they prattle and pat themselves on the back so much. And I got more to say about that naturally right after the break, but we need to pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have, as usual, trivia questions sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Kenny at 904-636-7888. We're talking about the really, really pathetic market in the first 6 months of this year. It was the worst two-quarter start to a year in the market we've ever had. The Dow Industrial Average fell 3,689 points during that 6 months. But it was volatile. That's why I mentioned earlier that volatility means up and down. How many times did the Dow gain more than 500 points during that 6 months? How many trading days did it gain more than 500 points? It is a whole number, and it's greater than zero. And that's all I'm going to tell you. So there. Anyway, back to this discussion of jobs and recessions. The most difficult thing to understand right now is how there can be 11.3 million jobs open. Anybody who wants one can get one. Labor prices are going up like crazy. And yet, if you ask anybody on the street, including me, I'll tell you that it's most likely that we're in a recession right now. And it just doesn't work. Good morning, Bob.
He's not on yet.
Oh, okay. Hang on. I thought it was on there because it was ready, but Bob's coming.
Okay.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, good morning, Bob.
Hey, I'm on my hands and knees here trying to cut the weeds back from the grapes. But
I got some work to do at my house if you're done later
on
today.
No. I have more to do here than I have two hands and 2 feet to manage. So
it was worth a try.
Hey, Adam eloquently talked about bear markets and when the recession occurs and how long it takes for us to come out of a bear market when there's a recession versus a non-recession. Can you tie in the stimulus money and how you think that will affect the bear market, or if it does have an effect on the bear market? I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to wrap my head around that. So,
well, I don't necessarily think the two are going to. I don't think that that money that came out back then will have any effect on how long it takes to get out of this bear market.
It does have an indirect effect,
It indirectly caused this bear market.
Yeah, the inflationary aspects are caused there.
Right. But I
understand that. I just wondered if that's going to delay the bear market from flipping back to the bull.
So, I mean, it's definitely an interesting question. I don't know. I think you would have a hard time proving any correlation or causality in that. But I do think that I know that it caused the inflation that caused the bear market. So it is directly or indirectly related, but I can't answer that. And maybe in hindsight we'll be able to.
I've got another supposition, too. That's what put a whole bunch of savings into people's pockets, and a lot of people are still living off that, which means even though they can walk right past every store around and say help wanted, they don't feel the need. Some of them don't feel the need to work yet. And the more people who work, the more people become consumers, the bigger the economy gets. I think that's a drag on recovery potentially, too, because people are still living off the fat of the land.
Could be a key to getting out of the recession, too, though, as those people go back to work. I don't know. This is a tricky, tricky economic landscape. It is so. Go ahead.
I saw one of my buddies from Jacksonville this morning while I was having coffee on the porch sent me a picture of Aldi. The Aldi cheese department, and they're putting, you know how you go through one of the big department stores and they have those security items wrapped around things that they don't want lifted? Mm-hmm. They have it around the cheese at Aldi now.
You have got to be kidding.
I don't know if that's an omen for things to come.
Oh, it's not a good one, is it?
whether their security department needs new staffing or...
I mean, I feel like it'd be pretty difficult to steal a 20-pound wheel of cheese, but I'm not a professional.
Well, so. No, this is little chunks of cheese.
Oh, it's just small ones?
They got them all wrapped up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that costs money to put it around there, and that takes time and labor, and then takes money to take it off and then put it back on the next item that comes off the truck.
I can see it on the tomahawk ribeyes, but I can't see it on the little
well,
bags
I don't know.
Cheese.
The prices of cheese these days are...
That's true.
Or whatever.
Cheese is a terrible expense nowadays.
It is.
My goodness.
I mean, a little block of cheese is like $7, $8 now. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, we'll let you guys go. I just was thinking about that this week, and I was re-listening to your webcast on inflation and the bear market, and, mm-hmm. et cetera. So it was.
Did you guys hear an eloquent job
on that, so I thought, well, this is a question for him.
Did you hear the trivia question? Do you want to take a shot at it?
No, I didn't.
In the worst 6 months to start a year ever, the Dow lost a total of 3,689 points. However, it wasn't all red. How many times did the Dow gain at least 500 points in a day during that 6 months? It's a whole number, and that's all the clue we've got right now.
Okay, I'd say 23 times.
Wow. That's an interesting guess. You're too high.
Okay.
But if I went down to 450, you'd probably pick that up. So,
okay.
Yeah, we know
all
that
right.
23 is too high, and very good. You set the bracket for everybody else, and I'm sure they're appreciative.
No problem. You guys have a great day, and I enjoy
Thanks.
The program.
Good question, so Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, that's interesting. Security on cheese.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's partly because they're trying to operate with very slim employment also. So there aren't a bunch of store employees running around.
I did see that the Publix by my house put in the self-checkout, so maybe. I don't know. That just happened recently.
I was reading this morning. I'm thinking retail right now. Mm-hmm. Just reading that Costco just knocked them dead.
20% increase in June.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, that's nuts.
And there's no shortage of people there.
But even
I said as a frequent visitor.
You could make that case that, people are going down the economic ladder of stores and buying in bulk. And so that's why you saw it. But a 20% increase.
Yeah, that's.
Even that doesn't.
That's not marginal.
That's not recessionary.
That's a giant leap.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is so confusing.
Just another. Yeah. I promise you, we have talked. Adam and I have talked. Sarah and I have talked. You talk to anybody long enough, and you find yourself talking around in circles.
Absolutely.
If it's about economics or the market right now, you can't help but talk around in circles.
All right, so I'll do some more of that while we're talking. But if you believe that a recession is already on us, there's plenty of things you can point out. But did you know that the 2-year versus the 10-year yield curve is already inverted?
Yep.
And that has a 98% chance of correctly predicting a recession within the next 2 years.
Yep.
So there's a point in the favor of recession.
Yep.
But for the bulls out there, investor sentiment is in the tank, and it has been in the tank for all year. It's bullish sentiment at 19.4%. And the last time bullish sentiment was this low for this long was 2016. And what happened in 2017?
Zoom.
One of the best years on recent record.
Yep.
So I don't know. And so people, I think the most common question we've been getting recently is what could get us out of this? And there is quite a few things. One of them starts next week. We're going to see earnings season start. Yep. And so the banks will be reporting. There's been I mentioned a few weeks ago, there hadn't been a lot of analysts revising forecasts down. Well, since I said that, they must have listened.
Tsunami.
And they started revising
Absolute
everything
tsunami.
Down. So typically when that happens, it makes it much easier for companies to beat on earnings, and you get a good earnings season. Would that pull us out of this? Maybe.
Right now they're projecting 10.4% year over year.
And growth?
Yeah.
Profit growth? I mean, that would be solid.
With about half of that in revenue growth.
Okay.
And that all that has to do is come in close.
Yep.
And we'll be fine.
That would be, I would take those numbers.
I would take them right now, sight unseen.
Yep.
What are we going to get? Who knows? And it might be industry specific this time more than overall.
It's true. The other thing that could pull us out of this, there are a few things that could be catalysts. I think the Fed signaling an end to rate hikes because inflation had come down would be an obvious one.
Price at the pump continue to fall.
That would help tremendously.
Mm-hmm. You know, if that damn Putin would just reduce his tax increase to us, we'd be out of this thing and nothing flat.
It would be nice, yeah. I don't think an end to that war or some sort of resolution to that conflict would be the only thing that needed to happen, but it would help.
No, it would help.
It would help. So there's quite a few things, and if two or three of them happened within 3 months of each other, that could definitely sort of turn things around. I feel like we may be closer to the end of this thing than the beginning, but
well, and remember that every day we inch a day closer to the election, and that means one less day the Republicans have a chance to blow it.
That's true,
and that we need that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that event alone can turn things around,
well,
but it might
help
sentiment.
Yeah, the things that they're talking about up in the Hill right now are very scary to me. They're Schumer and Manchin are having secret meetings to see what they can convince Manchin. He took his nose ring out for the most part, but I think he's still able to be grabbed by the ear and dragged along.
Yeah,
the
but
man
did you
has
see the numbers
history.
They're talking about?
Yeah.
It's now down to like $300 billion, whereas this started at trillions.
Right.
So, I mean, $300 billion these days.
But it's going to be done by reconciliation. And anything done by reconciliation that does not have any minority party input should be scary, because they can slip things in there. Schumer can slip that in the last minute like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And it can hurt us.
I'm not too worried about that from a financial standpoint, though. I don't see it being a huge deal.
Well, it is fortunate that they're somewhat toothless up there right now, and that hopefully it'll keep it that way, because the less said, the less done, the better. And that said, I'll bring you up to date a little bit on the Secure Act and that sort of thing after the break. Might have a few other comments about the overall jobs report, but I think we've pretty much beaten it to death for now. So don't go anywhere. We will consider what comes next, and you can help us by calling in. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And trivia question is still out there, and we have a bracket on it. How many times in the miserable six-month opening of this year did the Dow Jones Industrial Average gain more than 500 points in a single session? 23 is too high, and it's above zero, so that's an automatic bracket. Biggest question of this week that remains unanswered, and one of the most interesting things that's going on, is probably the most obvious one that you never think of. Will Elon buy Twitter? That's the question.
Is he just wrangling for a lower price, or is he...
I'm on that side.
I think so, but I do feel like he is feeling a little bit duped by the board saying that...
I think he's feeling a little bit more than a little bit.
Yeah, they claim that less than 5% of accounts on Twitter were bot or spam accounts, mm-hmm. and being an ex-Twitter user, I can tell you the number's a lot.
And they offered him, I think they use the term, fire hose access to the data.
Yeah.
He can really shoot in there. But he doesn't have it. That's why he's threatening to call it off. He doesn't believe a thing they've told him.
No, and I wouldn't either.
Based on Twitter, he's got a very good reason to not believe a thing they've told him.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that was interesting. All right, where do we want to go? Yeah, everybody knows I've been following the Secure 2.0 Act. Partly for personal reasons, but because it actually does make a lot of changes in retirement plans, and that affects everybody. Well, the latest is still positive about getting it passed this year. Finance Committee now has merged, or I guess is in the process and discussion of merging with the Secure 2.0 and the EARN Act. So if they can get those together and make it acceptable to both houses, then it looks like they're going to tack it on to their massive spending plan at the latest part of the year. So the good news is that everybody still thinks it's going to pass. The bad news is they're going to drag their feet so long that doing things like planning your required minimum distributions is going to, of course, be a last-minute thing. And you're probably going to drive your planners nuts in December. Right?
Of course. That's how they like
to operate.
That's
how they do it. Yep. Will we get the $600 deductible if it's paid from your cash supply charitable deductions this year again? It expired, but it'll probably be back. I wish these people would give us the courtesy of honoring their own year end. September 30th is the government year end. And the plans that are put in place for January 1 would be a lot easier to live by if they'd give us 3 months notice what changes were going to take place. But then again, that's wishful thinking, and there's not one chance in a thousand that it's going to happen that way. So for those of you born after June 30th, 1949, keep the faith. You're probably going to be able to postpone it one more year. But the real impact here, and something I don't talk about enough, is that this is not just for old guys like me. This is for everybody born after I was. And that means kids today, like Adam's age in their 40s, they can look out and plan their retirement savings and so on, and RMD stuff. They're going to be way out to 5 years, 75, which means starting now, they got about 20 years to change their ways a bit, and if people keep living a lot longer, this is going to be important. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, man.
How are you?
We're wonderful. It's hot and muggy.
Yeah, that it is. It's Florida in July. What's on your mind?
Well, I keep one ear to the radio, you know, off and on every day. And so about the stock market closings, I always try to hear, but, you know, during the day it'll be up, then it's down, then it's up.
Every
day. I always
try
to hear the closing. Yeah, I always try to hear the closing. And I wanted to guess on that number because I know it's been going up a lot and down a lot.
That it is.
That's right.
All right, what do you think?
Well, that man was way off at 23.
Well, it was too high. My only clue right now is that it was too high.
So you're saying 500 or more points in, on the up side?
On the close, yep.
For the past 6 months?
First 6 months of the year, yeah.
Exactly.
It's 8 or 10, and I can't pick which one. I'm going to say 10 times.
Okay. That's a good guess.
But it's too low.
Too low.
Too low?
Yeah.
Do you remember back in the 80s when we had the drop? It dropped 500 points in one day, and everybody had 10 heart attacks.
Yeah.
And now look, it does it all the time, up, down, up.
Yeah, there was a little different starting point back then.
Yeah, percentage-wise.
I remember it was only like, yeah, was the Dow going to hit 3,000? I remember that.
Right. Yeah, right. And we laughed.
They were talking on FN, and are we going to hit 5,000? And now look,
there were books written back there, Dow 9,000. 12,000, then some.
I know.
Some idiot.
If they only knew then what we know now, if they only would have known.
Some idiot came out and said, Dow 30,000, and he almost got laughed out of the media.
I remember that.
Well, yeah, no one would have believed it.
We just lost 30,000 briefly.
Remember, it was such a slow crawl from the 60s, 70s. It was a slow climb.
Yeah, absolutely. Love it.
Bit by bit. And, you know, one other thing. Remember when they used to have the quick finance minute, like on the radio news years ago, and it would say, average share up 6 cents or down 10 cents?
Yeah.
They don't say that anymore.
No, not usually.
No, those are so insignificant nowadays. That you
I think of that sometimes. I'm like, you know, everything has just changed. It's craziness.
Yep. Got to keep up, I guess. Well, you know,
we like your show. I like your show, and I try to.
Thank you.
Remember when it's on. I know it comes on the weekend.
I always start the show the same. It's Saturday. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I do that for a reason. I want everybody to just have it.
Yeah, now I remember.
Well, thanks for listening, Kelly. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank
have a good
you.
Weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Leroy.
Yes, sir. How you boys doing today?
We are excellent.
Bad.
And you?
Oh, not too bad.
Good.
I figured I'd take a stab at this thing just to narrow the bracket.
Why not?
Go with 16. 16.
16 is too low.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I like to keep really people guessing. And this one I thought would keep people guessing. And almost everybody so far, has been leaning toward Adam's intuition, which was also too low.
Yeah, I was closer to Kelly's guess then.
Yeah.
The actual answer.
So 16 to 23, we got a bracket.
There you go. Somebody will get it.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
Thanks.
You do the same.
I spent the week, actually, in kind of a funk. We were talking about our website and the blog and so on. By the way, if you go to the website, vanweefinancial.com, and the hamburger menu.
They were talking about that on the real estate show.
One of those will take you directly to the blog. And on the blog, you'll find my weekly contribution. And Adam throws in a bunch of things, references to things, interesting information, things like that. Adam did an interview with a guy that many of you know. He goes as Stan the Annuity Man. He did a long interview with Stan, and it's for Stan's podcast.
Yeah.
And it is available there to link directly to, and it's very interesting. I sat down, listened to the whole thing, and I think a lot of you would get a lot out of it too. The interesting thing about our relationship with Stan is that he's the annuity man. Strange, lucky, huh? His name just happened to describe his work, but he appreciates fee-only planners, and we appreciate honest annuity people because there's room out there in the customer world, client world, for both because they do different things.
Yeah.
And people tend to equate them incorrectly and say that the annuity people will want all your money. Here's the size annuity you should buy. And it's just not true. But if you want to get a good feel for the overlap between the fee-only planning and investing world and the annuity world, it is really an excellent podcast. And like I say, you can link to it directly off of our website. But I want to talk more about the blog this week when we get back. There's a call coming in, but the music's playing and we don't really have time to take it. So please, if you can, hold on until after the break, and we'll take you immediately thereafter. But anyway, I want to just, oh, it's Bosco. Hey, how you doing? But I wanted to tell you about how and why I had an attitude reversal this week. And I'm really glad I did because I think I'm right.
We'll see.
Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we'll get right to the phone. Good morning, Bosco.
Good morning, y'all. Another fabulous program.
Well, thank you so much.
As you always do.
We appreciate hearing that. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just curious, you know, on the trivia, and then, you know, the other one is, you know, having listened to Dan Syria, who just passed not too long ago, always said that the Fed it has never been correct, you know, and I'm like, you know, are they in there, you know, to just stir the pot with misinformation, you know, I mean, the people that have been doing it, as you all have been for a long time, obviously probably know the same thing, you know, that rarely do they hit the mark on any one thing, you know.
Yeah, you're
but
preaching
to be the best at, you know?
Preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
They've never been right. They always blow it every single time. That's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons it shouldn't exist.
Exactly, you know, but... yet they do.
Yeah.
You know, the more you think about it, the more frustrating you get, you know.
Well, it's just, simply put, it's a way for Congress to pass off all its responsibility to this, quote, independent government agency, and it's none of those.
Exactly.
It's just another, it's a cover, the invisibility cloak, I guess, for the Congress. That's the only reason it's out there. Jefferson was right. He said, fear it, and I do.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't heard that. But, you know, he obviously had his fingers on the pulse, you know, only to find out that they don't have a pulse.
Isn't that
when
the
it comes
truth?
To something that they should have their finger, you know, and a pulse, you know, going. And unfortunately, we have to ride with that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
The politics, you know, override the common sense too often in D.C., you know, there's another old expression, too, and you probably haven't heard it because I made it up. But it says, in Washington, D.C., you're known for the jobs you've had, but not the job you did.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah, you get promoted on your resume, and not the part that says, I accomplished this. It's the part, I had this job, then I had this job. Oh, okay, then you're obviously qualified for this one. And only in D.C. could you be that shallow that you can Peter principle almost every person who works for the government.
Oh, you were a spot on there because I was going to throw and the Peter principle.
Yeah. And for those of you who are too young to know, all it means is people tend to get promoted to the level of their incompetence.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
All right.
And let me take a stab. Let me get off my soapbox here and take a stab at this. And I was going to.
There's room for two of us.
21.
21. I'm too high. You guys
bringing it down.
It's like down. Horseshoes and hand grenades are in season right now, aren't they?
There you go. Now, just one more, and then I'm gonna get out of here. Are we gonna have a story of you know, when you were doing the stories about the people that on their way up to
the millionaires?
Yeah.
Next week.
I have one, but we're not going to have time to get to it today, so I'm holding it over until
next week. We're just discussing that. It's like you were reading our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Peter principle.
Yeah.
I don't think it applies in this conversation.
This is a good one, too, because it's someone I don't think anyone would ever think of. So I think you'll like it.
Interesting. Yeah. Well,
as they say, great minds think alike.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's our hook for everybody to listen next week, for sure.
There you go.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call, Bosco.
Stay cool.
You have to. Ciao.
All right. My bad week. I went home after last week's show, and for no particular reason, I always start researching next week when I get home because it's on my mind and all that. And generally speaking, something that has happened in the last very few days triggers my thought for the blog that's going to be upcoming because we post about midweek. So I start thinking about that right away on Saturday and came up with a couple ideas and started writing them. And they were depressing me. And it's pretty bad when you depress yourself with what you're thinking. So one after another got thrown out. And my research department, who is also my editor and Adam's mother and my wife and all that, because I'm really cheap, I can't hire too many people. But I finally got one that I thought had a chance that maybe she could improve it enough. And the first thing she did was throw out the first half of it and then say maybe the rest of it can be saved. So I started trying to save the other half of it. And I just kept coming across the two things I can't stand, political and negative. And when I find myself getting too political, I remember that in the old days when I was on a different show, everybody hated how political the show was.
True.
So you got to talk some politics. Like, you got to talk the Fed and that kind of thing.
You can't avoid it.
Money and politics are intertwined, but you don't have to talk about it in terms other than financial. So I was getting way too much of that. And I don't like being negative. And although after the worst 6 months in history, it's hard not to be. So I slept on it one more time. And overnight, I came up with an entirely different attitude. And the whole concept was, now that we've had this ridiculously awful period in the market where it went down more than any first 6 months in history, instead of whining about it, do something. So that one started congealing in my mind. And the first thing that I thought of was, well, how about let's look for tax losses early in the year? People tend to look for tax losses for their year-end statement late in the year.
I've already done a good amount of that.
Yeah, I know you have. That's part of the reason, because I saw some things that you were doing to preserve some losses for people.
Why not? You just
wait
30 days and buy it right back. The market isn't going to turn around in 30 days.
No, and you're not going to get a much better deal than you're going to get now after the worst 6 months start in history.
Yep.
So look through your taxable accounts only. This does not apply to money that is out there in the tax deferred level. But if you have losses, and even especially if you have things you don't believe in anymore, you just sell them and forget them. But if you have things in there that are down and you have a negative cost on them, then or a negative profit on them, then you can buy them back in 31 days. That avoids what we call the wash sale rule. So that's my suggestion, number one, to try to do something positive despite this horrible market. Look for and possibly accumulate some tax losses. Most people think you can write off only $3,000 of losses during the year. What they forget is you can write off 100% of any profit you took and $3,000 more. So if you accumulate losses of $20,000, it can last you a while or can offset a big gain if you want to take it.
Or ideally, you can offset $17,000 worth of gain.
Exactly.
And take the other $3,000 and put it against your ordinary
And we try income. To plan things that way so there's just that little bit left
because
over so you can get it.
Actually, using that $3,000 is a better deal because you're always taxed at a higher rate on ordinary income than you are on your capital gains.
All right, so that's for people who have taxable accounts. Now, what about people with IRAs? Well, they have an opportunity, again, that's just about as interesting as the taxable accounts. How about looking at Roth conversions? when you do a Roth conversion, whatever you convert out of the traditional IRA to a Roth IRA is taxable as ordinary income. That's never a lot of fun, but it's a lot more fun if something's down 40 or 50% than it was 40 or 50% ago. Plus, when you get it into the Roth and you pay the taxes on the conversion in the year of the conversion, then if it's something you believe in, so you didn't want to just sell it, you put it in the Roth. Now it grows tax-free. When you take the money out later, it's still tax-free. And
you don't have RMDs
on it.
That's right. And the key to those is really having an income on the smaller side.
Right.
If you are in the 30-something percent tax bracket, it's almost impossible to make that money back unless you're very young. But if you're older and you have a smaller income and you're not taking RMDs or you don't need RMDs, it is a great time to think about that.
One caution, the Roth conversions are no longer redoable. You used to get till the first part of next year to undo it. And as if it never happened. We lost that privilege, so you got to be careful and plan up front to do these things.
All right, how many 500-point up days did we see in the first half of the year?
19 times the Dow gained over 500. There was another one, 499.51, and there was yet another one about 494, and several that were close to that.
So
the total gain
Bosco,
was 19,000.
Bosco missed out by 1.5 points.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Bosco.
Almost 12,000 points of upside for the total red days. See you next week. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.